And if you get up to our website, coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the highlight reel, the trailer of the documentary that we've been talking about with G. Edward Griffin called Offline. There's a nice, excellent trailer there. Definitely take a look at it. And then there's some links, of course, to their website. And welcome back, G. Edward Griffin with us. Edward, with the documentary, of course, which I think is extremely powerful, you point your fingers. Not many organizations do, but you stick your necks out on this one, don't you?
Yeah, we do, because our necks are already out, George. You know, if we don't solve this problem, we won't have any necks anyway. So, yeah, we expect some pushback. We expect to, we expect to have some opposition. And we talked a lot about, should we soften the punch? Should we not insult anybody? Should we be cautious in what we say? And we both decided, no, it's too late for that kind of a game. Let it come what it will be. We have to say it like it is. And we, of course, in all of these things, you know, we reserve the right to be wrong. We reserve the right to have somebody point out to us that we've made a mistake. And if that ever happens, I would be the first one to say, yep, you're right, we made a mistake on this. I retract that. But now what about the rest of this, you know? We have to take that approach.
Well, it's critical to take that approach. I mean, it really is. The trailer is magnificent, by the way. Yeah,
well,
you folks did a great job with that.
Did a great job on that.
She really got into this, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. And it was an education for her. She was way ahead of me on this. She was the one that introduced me to this whole topic. And I would get phone calls and emails from her every day. She'd say, you won't believe what I learned today. And she was all excited and angry and everything. And I'm just still trying to catch up, you know. Yeah, but she did a great job.
All right, let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Charles in West Virginia. Good morning, Charles. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Hey, I'm a mechanic.
Okay, sir.
Nuclear and steam turbine power delivery. And you have to put them on a turning gear once they're shut down. You still hear me?
Yeah, we're with you.
If you don't put it on a turning gear, the rotor will warp and all the buckets will drop. And when that happens, it'll bend out all the pieces. Well, generally, you've got three or four turbines on the floor, and when they have to shut a turbine down, they use one of them turbines to run the turning gear to keep that rotor from warping and the shaft dropping. And if they all go out at once,
we're up a creek.
Lose them all.
And when you lose them all, what happens? What's the significance
of
that?
Well, you have no transformers because you ain't got no way to put power to them. You see, the main transformer holds power. Generators make power.
Yep. So and we don't have enough backup generators, do we?
Well, if you get a solar mass comes or you get the power grid taken out, you know, you won't have the power to run anything.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the earlier call that we had last hour, Edward, about gamma rays versus solar flares.
Yes.
There is a difference. The solar flares, they're the ones that can take you out.
Well, yeah, they all have their different characteristics, don't they? And it gets kind of complicated. And there's a tendency for us all to say, well, they're all bad news and we just don't want them. But they are different. The gamma ray is, as I remember it, I'm working from memory now, it's primarily electromagnetic radiation, as I recall, a very high frequency. I think they call it ionizing radiation. And it's very bad for health, you know. It may not blow anything up, but nothing living can survive that kind of bombarding. I know one of the things they worry about with astronauts in space is they have to be protected from this ionizing radiation that comes.
They've got a special place to run and hide.
Yeah,
inside
they have
there.
To protect themselves from that, and that stuff goes right through lead. You know, they have to really be protected. Anyway, that's the gamma ray, and I don't think that's what's going to blow anything up. But it's a health issue. Now the coronal mass ejection is a whole different thing. And again, I'm working a little bit from memory here, but that is, as the word suggests, mass. It has real mass to it. And they, as I recall, they call it a solar wind as a result of...
Now that's what can do us in.
Yeah, that sends out particles, actually, a solar wind, and it travels at tremendous speeds. I think the electromagnetic radiation goes faster, But one of the things that intrigued me as I was learning about all of this is that they talk about how much advance warning we would have. You know, they have satellites out there that monitor this stuff. And the idea is that the satellite will pick it up and they'll send us a message and say, okay, there's a solar flare or a coronal mass ejection heading for the Earth, and you have so many minutes to prepare. And the time that usually is quoted is something like, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, which is not a lot of time. But what they don't tell you is that some of those things are coming much faster than that, and you've got 14 minutes. And says so not all traveling at the same speed. And I can assure you that they're not even going to get...
Right, and some take 2 days.
And some take 2 days, yes. So anyway, the coronal mass ejection has mass, and the solar flares are just primarily energy. And those are the things that they're often associated, I understand, but they're not necessarily connected.
And the tragedy, if we do get hit with a big one, and NASA predicts a 12% chance, I think it's much higher than that because we've been lucky. We've dodged a few, as you said, where they went off the side of the sun, and had we been facing directly with it, look out.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I've been in stores where the power went out, Edward, and they tried to count things by hand. They couldn't do it. Most younger people are schooled not to do mathematics in their head, but they use it on their computers now. And I mean, you go to a fast food place, if that computer isn't spitting out the correct change for you, they can't figure it out.
Yeah, unless you can touch a picture of the hamburger, you don't know what to charge for.
Yeah, you really can't. So, I mean, if this happens, and I should say when it happens,
yes,
we're going to be up a creek.
Well, yeah, that's the reason we're doing all this. It is a question of when, and I don't think that really sinks in for most people. It's sort of rhetorical. We say it's not if, but when. Okay, that's nice, but that is serious.
And what happens to a country like Russia, like China, like Iran, that may want it out for us, that let's say the power goes out and we get affected, they don't. I think they'd attack while we're down.
Well, they wouldn't have to attack. All they have to do is stand back a month and we kill each other or die from famine. And
that's true, too.
They don't have to attack. They just wait a couple of months and come in and just walk in.
Pick up what's left.
Pick up what's left, yes.
All right, next we go to Bob in Arlington, Virginia. Thank you, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think about this grid thing almost every day, and I think I've come up with a sort of a backward solution.
Okay.
To the problem. Most of the power companies are stockholder companies, and most stockholder companies have something called a dividend reinvestment program.
Right.
Where you can buy a few shares of stock. So what we do, we have enough numbers with your people listening to your program, is you concentrate on the power plants in your immediate area. You buy a few shares of stock. You go to the stockholders meeting. You explain to the people that if the power grid goes down, they're not going to be able to sell electricity, and nobody's going to get their dividend check. You forget about Fukushima everywhere. You forget about the whole concept, the end of the world. You concentrate on something more visceral, their pocketbook.
Good idea. And all you got to do is buy one share to get in that meeting.
Yeah.
That's right. That's all you have to do. And most of those dividend reinvestment programs will sell you one share, and some will even sell you fractions of shares. But I'd get a few shares, just enough to get their attention.
Well, I like that idea because you have to get their attention. And I just hope that you spearhead a program like that. Let me know, and I'll lend my meager resources to giving you publicity, and we'll get more people to join with you.
We've got WorldNet Daily, WND.com, behind us, Edward, and you know, we're pushing it. You're starting to push it. Petraeus pushing it, and you know, Bill Forstjen's pushing it. Michael Maloof is pushing it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get this done in time. What seemed like an insurmountable project a year and a half ago, I think we can get this done.
Well, the only thing we need right now is some kind of a central location to focus all of this response, and maybe we can work that out in the near future. It's too big a job for us. We thought we would do it, but we need to work with others on this.
And it would create jobs, at least for a while, during the construction phase of the infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the tragic things, is there are several companies out there that have invested a tremendous amount of stockholder money in research and development, and they have come up with very effective tools for fixing these transformers. And now they're all going bankrupt because nobody's buying their product. They don't even want to talk about it.
Let's go to Robert, truck driving in Benton Harbor, Michigan. First-time caller, by the way. Hey, Robert, go ahead, sir.
How are you guys doing this evening?
We are fine. Thank you.
Well, I got a couple of good questions. One is you were talking about, if it was rain, like as far as it raining 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
If it was rain, you were saying, where did all the rain go? I was just wondering if everything was frozen, like everything is frozen right now that's not liquid. If all that melted, would that accumulate to 40 days and 40 nights of rain or no?
Well,
and also my other question was, it's not really a question, it's just an idea, like your documentary. Why not send a copy to Spielberg, and maybe he'll get interested enough in that to make a movie, like a doomsday movie,
That'd be a great movie.
That would wake up the people and Congress and everybody else and wake them up and show them what could really happen,
I like that idea. That is a good idea.
Yeah.
Get some more publicity on this, Edward, for sure. But his first question about if it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, would it be the result of things melting or what?
Well, all I can do is tell you what Donald Patton's theory was, which made sense to me, and that is that he believes from the historical record that prior to this event, this flood event, that the Earth was very much like Venus in that it has a vapor canopy around it, and there's a lot of moisture in the air. And when these ice crystals arrived from the shattering of that ice satellite around this visiting body, and they went into orbit around the Earth, the ice cleared the moisture out. In other words, provided a vehicle of condensation, as they call it, for the moisture to attach to and then drip down, and it caused rain. And he believes that's the first time that this planet ever really saw rain.
Huh.
And so it rained for 40 days and 40 nights as it cleared that vapor canopy out of the atmosphere. And that was the source of the rain.
Let's go to Chris, Tampa Bay. Hey, Chris, take it away.
Good morning, George and Edward. Thank you for an informative show.
Thank you.
You can always count on George and crew to produce an entertaining and informative evening. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
Earlier you were talking about presidential candidates and wondering why nobody had come forward. Actually, on September 22nd, Ben Carson was asked in an interview what issues were important to him and things that he felt should be addressed to protect the United States. And in his comments, he said that hardening the grid was something that he felt should be done.
Good for him. I did not hear that.
I didn't hear that either. That's excellent.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You'd think the front runners, like the Trumps, would jump on board too, and Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
to me, it's a no-brainer, yes. But don't forget, a lot of these people, they think they have a safe haven.
They do.
They do.
And a pass.
And a pass, yeah.
Napa Valley, California. John's with us now. John, you're on with Ed Griffin. Go ahead.
Thanks, George. I just want to let you know I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And thank you. Mr. Griffin, I got a question. It's referring to your cancer cures. I haven't seen your video yet. But, okay, I was curious to know if you've ever heard of Raymond Rife.
Oh, yes.
And if
yes, I'm familiar with Rife technology, the Rife machine, the Rife microscope, and what happened to him and all of that. Yes, quite a story.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing what happened to him.
Oh, they went after him.
I'm curious to know if you did any intense research and the validity of what I've been reading and stuff. Like, okay, supposedly he had 80% cancer cured, you know, and this is like, you know, the earlier part of last century. And then, you know, on the second visit, the other 20 people, the 100 out of 100, supposedly got cured of cancer. I mean, I can understand the concept of how that would work, you know.
Well, I've never had a chance to look at his frequencies and how that might have applied to the parasites that are often associated with cancer. But I'm very convinced that cancer is not caused by parasites that would be destroyed by a Rife frequency. But I think that the parasites are an associative phenomenon, not a causative phenomenon. And if you can destroy the parasites that come along with cancer, you're gonna give the patient a big boost and maybe provide that extra margin that the immune system needs to get rid of the cancer itself. So I can see validity to it, but I see it as an indirect treatment rather than a direct treatment.
And Royal Rife died in 1971, so he was around for a while, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, quite a while. Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Now, he was on to something. I think the understanding of frequencies on living tissue is something that is not fully appreciated. The role played by electricity and frequencies, I think, once we understand that, that's the whole future of medicine.
And they got him. They got him big time, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They raided his place. They destroyed his laboratory. They put him out of business. Destroyed his life.
They said that some people even died using his machines. That's how they went after him in a big way.
Yeah, and I don't think that was true. No, maybe somebody did die using his machines, but people die using chemotherapy and radiation every day.
Yeah, they probably had cancer. They were going to die anyway,
that's
right?
That's the point, yes. And if that's the criteria for closing something down, I think every hospital in the world would have to be closed down.
Tammy is truck driving in Kentucky. Hey, Tammy, welcome.
Hi, George.
Howdy.
Hi, I feel very special. I got to talk to you on Halloween, and now I get to talk to you again tonight.
Yes, you do. I remember your voice.
Yeah, I did. I forgot to mention Halloween was my 7-year anniversary of being a lady truck driver.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah. I had approximately about 5.5 years ago, I had a dream flash vision premonition of an EMP strike or solar flare to the electrical grids in outer space. But at the time, I had no clue what these things were. I didn't even know we had an electrical grid in outer space. And it started off as I was walking down my sidewalk onto my driveway, and I live off of a fairly busy street close to the center of town, and, you know, lots of noise, so much to the point where I can't really keep my windows up in the summer because there's just so much noise. But in my dream, I walked to the end of my driveway, and everything just went completely silent. And I was looking around, and it was almost as if I was looking at me. I was looking at me having the dream, having seen these things. And I stood there for a second and thought, what has happened? I mean, you couldn't even hear a bird. There
was Well, I tell you, those things do happen, don't they? Break time. We'll be back. You know, there's nothing like listening to a holiday CD, that great music, and knowing that you bought it for a good cause, and that's what we're doing. We have dusted off the old Holiday Magic Co-Style CD. You know, we had them out last year. Well, we've got a whole bunch of them ready for this year. They are really cool. They were holiday songs and poems performed by favorite Coast to Coast guests over the years. And I did a song too, and it was really fun to do that. And the proceeds will go help veterans, and that's the important thing. A couple ways you can get to it. You can go to coasttocoastam.com, click the highlight reel of the CD, and that'll take you to amazon.com. Or you can go straight to amazon.com, and in the search window, put in Holiday Magic Coast Style, and pick up a couple and give them away as gifts or stocking stuffers. It's a good cause. It really is. And I know the cause last year when Tom delivered some checks around, they were well surprised. They really were. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go to Mark in Kansas to get things going with G. Edward Griffin. Go ahead, Mark. Good to have you.
Well, thank you, George and Edward.
Sure thing.
Assuming gradual global warming, sea levels would have to be a bell curve, and long before all the ice was gone, the ocean levels would have to drop because there wouldn't be enough ice melt to replace the higher dew points. And if for some reason you had a sudden global cooling and the atmosphere, you know, started dropping oceans of rain, in other words, the warm, moist air wouldn't have to go up the side of a mountain to drop its water. You know, some dust cloud or something passing between the earth and sun. Then you really would see a big increase in ocean depth. You know, not from, you know, the ice we have left, it, you know, it's getting harder and harder to melt. You know, these globalists talk about all the ice melting. It'd have to be 125 degrees in Anchorage to not have any ice at the top of Mount McKinley, which means it might be 150 in Oklahoma. And who really cares about the ocean depth when it's 160 degrees out?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to ever get that hot, but what's going on with the ocean levels, Ed?
I think the ocean levels are pretty stable. I think I saw some very interesting reports on this recently. It looked very scientifically sound that these few places that they're talking about where the little low-lying ocean, islands, I should say, are getting lower and lower and the water's rising, it's because the land is dropping. They're able to actually measure the elevation of the land, and it's actually dropping in those areas. It's not that the water's rising, but the land is going down. I don't think the oceans are rising at all. I think this whole global warming issue is pretty much a political myth.
I do too.
Yeah.
I always have believed that.
The science is not strong behind it at all. It looks to me like junk science.
Explain the chaos in the event of a super X flare. The lights go out, no water.
Well, yes, that's easy to talk about. It's hard to imagine. Yeah, if there's no electricity, everything, literally everything we do in our modern
life. Oh, my God. Even those who are driving until they run out of gasoline. Can you imagine the traffic congestion with no street lights?
Yeah, no street lights, no gasoline, and not even the emergency vehicles are moving after a while because the emergency storage of gasoline is gone. The banks aren't operating. The hospitals are not operating. Grocery stores are through. You know, everything comes to a stop. Everything. And what would you do without money? What would you do without water? Without food being delivered? Your job, there's no job to go to because there's no power at work and nobody's buying anything anyway. You quickly revert back to, I would call it, the Dark Ages. Whatever.
And fast too.
And fast, yes. People would be willing to kill in order to get water and food. And you know, I've seen chaos happen in the streets for a lot less than water and food. Look what happens on Black Friday when people struggle to get a
Well, that's
TV
coming up.
You know? Yeah. I mean, people go crazy over nothing, and just imagine when there's really something serious. It's something I don't even want to think about. As I said earlier, I always go away from that scenario quickly and start to focus on what can we do to generate enough public support to make these politicians and utility company executives do what they are supposed to do. That's our mission.
The politician who enacts this kind of legislation to protect our grid would be a hero, I would think.
Yes, and of course they all talk like they're going to. But when it comes push to shove, they pass some legislation that doesn't do anything. It just authorizes another committee, another agency to be formed, and another investigation, and another seminar, and another study. And, you know, that's all they do. They don't actually do anything.
Let us go to Cheyenne, Wyoming. Gene is there. Gene, I hear there's a huge split in the state down in the earthquake faults. What have you heard about that?
We had a pretty good landslide up there because of spring runoff, and it opened some fissures, and the Bureau of Land Management said, stay away.
Yeah, big ones, huh?
Big ones.
Jeez.
Yeah. As you know, George, I was a corpsman for 10 years U.S. Navy.
Oh, great. Thanks for serving.
One of the correspondence courses we were all required to take before you could make even test or pay us or first was nuclear warfare and the effects of nuclear warfare mm-hmm. on personnel. And now a coronal mass ejection would hit the atmosphere. Okay.
Yep.
That is plasma from fusion reaction. Okay. That's actually a finger of the sun, a sunspot reaching all the way out and hitting us. And when it hits the magnetic field around the Earth, that's what's going to react.
That goes bang.
Okay. Now, that's going to cause an electromechanical pulse, the same as if you detonate a big warhead in the atmosphere.
That's right, which could happen. That could happen, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the problem is that I spent a lot of years working around electronics at sea, and we had big transformers to run computer systems, to run radar systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If I sent two guys into a transformer room, two guys, to clean up because the dust is stuck to the walls, to go in there and do field day, in 20 minutes I'd have to go in and break up a fight.
Yeah. Yep.
Electromechanical pulse, or EM, electromechanical radiation, makes people bugs.
Yep, it whacks them out.
Crazy.
Yeah.
A judge in Denver, they found out there was a big EM leak and a transformer directly below his bench. And they removed him from the bench because they thought he'd lost his marbles.
So can you imagine so many millions of people whacked out and services yeah. knocked out? Just what would be happening?
It removes all of your filters. It's like being drunk but not impaired.
Just what we need. And they say 90% will die off in a year. All of us.
No doubt. Most people are three paychecks away from living in the street in this country.
Yeah, that's a good point. Edward, let's react to some of the things Gene said. Thank you, Gene.
Well, all I'm thinking is he's absolutely right, except it sounds too mild to me. You know, three paychecks away from living on the street.
That's generous?
Yeah, well, the point is, if the paychecks can't be cashed and converted into anything, then you're not three paychecks from the street. You're 1 minute from on the street.
You know? And what good will cash be when all these systems collapse?
That's right. And a paycheck isn't cash. It's a piece of paper. And you got to convert it into cash.
Well, look at the furor we've had over the past couple days when there was talk of a Russian submarine close to cables, undersea cables, that they were afraid the submarine was going to purposely clip the cables, shutting off communications to Europe. That was just with that one act. Just imagine if everything goes.
It's mind-boggling. And the thing that amazes me is that you can tell people about this, and they'll say, oh, yeah, oh, that would be terrible. And then they go right back into what their daily routine is and give it no more thought. No more thought about how about calling their elected representative at the state level or the national level. How about calling somebody and saying, hey, let's form a committee. Let's do something. Let's do something about this, not just say tisk, tisk. You know, this is what we need. We need some action and not just information now. We've gone beyond that point.
Let's go to Dwight in Texas. Hey, Dwight, thank you for holding, and you're on the air with us.
Hi, how we doing?
Good, Dwight.
Good. I was just curious, Mr. Griffin. The layman watches your documentary. You know, you're painting this picture of if we don't act now, you know, we're in for a really hard time in the near future. What is your end goal for the layman to do other than to, quote unquote, wake up and you know, smell the proverbial roses around them?
bombard your senators in Congress. But what do you think, Ed?
Yeah, good question. That's precisely my point a moment ago, is that and now in the documentary, we don't have anything specific. We don't say call this number or write to this address or join this group or anything like that. But what we're trying to do is explain what in general needs to be done. We need to become politically active. We need to come face to face with our elected leaders and our corporate executives. A gentleman called a little while ago and talked about what stockholders could do at stockholder meetings. That is right on target. We have to confront people face to face. And I don't really have the complete answer to that, because it's something that's never been done really before. But that is what we are trying to motivate people to do. And I guess we're just going to have to grope our way into that. But we do have to mobilize public opinion in a very tangible, face-to-face manner.
Let's go to Lou, Niagara Falls, New York. Thanks for calling, Lou. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening, George. And
hi there.
And
Edward.
Yes. Mr. Griffin, I'm sorry.
Oh, you got it. That's okay.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, and thank you for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I'm honored. Mr. Griffin, I have some information to corroborate what you have said in the past about cancer research. I hail from Niagara Falls, New York, Western New York State, and I, for the last 15 years, I've studied ionizing radiation, mainly having to do with locations of production and that sort of thing.
Ah, very good.
Recently, I've went into the... last 5 years or so, the research involving radiation, ionizing radiation as a cause of cancer. And I found some great connections, and I've also found some very disturbing information about how this information is being hidden from us. One of the things I would like to say, and I think is very important, is that there can never be a cure for cancer until the sources of the causes are identified and eliminated, and that's a lot of environmental.
Yep, and man-made.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the first things that I've noticed in the study of ionizing radiation around various locations is the suppression of the autoimmune system, thereby allowing all sorts of diseases to begin to manifest. So I agree completely. I was acquainted and associated with we also are the host of the nation's oldest cancer hospital here in Buffalo, New York, called Roswell Park Cancer Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I was acquainted with a researcher there for a number of years who had worked at Roswell back in the 60s, I believe it was. And when she began to identify exactly what you've identified later on, they withdrew her funding. So it does happen. And good luck with your research and spreading the word.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you. And, you know, your comment really causes one to think about the logic of using ionizing radiation to treat cancer. Does that make sense? It's
sure
one
does.
Of the causes of cancer. And here we treat people with radiation, supposedly to cure their cancer.
Ed, take the last minute, if you would, to tell people where they can get a hold of you, get your books, look at the offline DVD. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Yeah, I'd like to remind everybody about that new documentary. It's called Offline. And if they go to our website at Reality Zone, the first thing they'll see when they arrive there is a banner. And that's the link to it. It's offline, and I hope you enjoy it and make sure that others see it. Also, in Reality Zone, we've got a lot of other topics. In fact, everything we talked about tonight, plus a lot more, you'll find, I think, good resource material there. So please take some time and look it over. If you're a regular listener of Coast to Coast, I know you're going to find lots of stuff there to dig your teeth into. And then for those that want to see what we do on a day-to-day basis, we have a weekly news service. It's called Need to Know. It's free. And so please just type in your browser, needtoknow.news, and that'll take you to our
beautiful
our website. And if you like what you see up in the upper right-hand corner, you can click on it, and you'll start getting it every week in your mailbox.
Ed, if I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving and a very Merry Christmas. Wow. Seems early to say that, but it's it's here. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, Be safe, everyone.